Thank you, Jerry. I wanted to follow up a bit on the idea from the lesson this morning. No, I'm not going to fuss anymore. I'm not going to tell you what bad kids you've been. But I wanted to say that the message this morning is for, or was for, all of us. And I don't take myself out of that mix either, because there's ways that we can all improve in our Christianity. And to not admit that, I think it lessens the fact that we are Christians. We just need to build on our Christian walk as best we can. I had some questions this afternoon that I just wanted to pose before you, because it's our influence that counts out in the public sector. Are you okay? I would tell you to look in your pocket, but I know it's not there. Our influence matters when we step outside these walls. And to help us kind of have some thoughts along that line, I wanted us to just pay some attention to a few questions that each one of us should all ask ourselves. Again, myself included. As a matter of fact, Sharon asked me today after the lesson, she said, "Do you think we really do all that?" I said, "No." Having to be honest, no, we don't always do what we all ought to do. Here's the first question. If every member invited as many people to the services as me, how much inviting would be being done? Now, take that for what it's worth. If you invite folks to services every time there's a service coming up, wonderful. If not, think about if everyone invited as many people as you do, how much inviting would be taking place? It's a worthy thought. Second question. If each member distributed gospel tracts like I do, how many tracts would be distributed? You know what gospel tracts are. We all know what gospel tracts are. It's the easiest, simplest way to spread the gospel of Christ. You don't always have to confront someone and talk to them to just pass out and spread the gospel. If you don't have gospel tracts, we can get them. There's tracts out on the front foyer in the wall mounts up there. There's a boatload of tracts back here in the back, and some of the older materialists that's back there was here before Sharon and I came on board. It's an easy way to do that. I've walked into a men's room and found gospel tracts laying there. I've doctor's offices, wherever it may be. And I'll tell you, it's very simple that people pick those up and they have a response. I got a call this last week from the activities lady over at Whispering Pines Nursing Home, where Jane Morrow is, and Ramona's mom, a couple of others. And she said, "We have had someone, one of your members, leaving your bulletin there on the nurse's desk, nurse's station, for quite a while. And I just want to let you know, we appreciate that. And can you come and do a Bible study with us for about an hour?" And then she gave me a date and a time. I said, "Yes, I'll send Jerry." No, I didn't say that. But to be honest, Jerry and Jared, when they go in there to take communion to the ladies over there that are housed in the nursing home, they just drop some of the gospel bulletin, gospel minutes. And they drop a handful of them there at the nurse's desk or wherever they find a place to live. And the response, all of a sudden, is a good positive response. They didn't have to talk to anybody. They didn't have to confront anybody. We can all do that very same thing. I'm just pat you on the back because it deserves it. But we can all do the same thing. And how much improvement would our influence be if we all did that? If you're not going to read those gospel minutes, take some for whomever you might know or some folks that you don't even know. I take a stack up to the hospital when I go and do a Bible study on Tuesday afternoons with Longview Regional in the rehab unit. And take them, as I pass through the waiting room, I just lay some on each of those little tables in there. Next time I go, they're gone. I don't know if the staff throws them away or somebody eats them, but they're gone. I can assume that somebody picked them up and read them, had something in there for them, and they took it with them. Hopefully so anyway. So Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we know that is the Great Commission. How better and how much easier and simpler can it be to do our part in fulfilling that Great Commission by passing out information? It's non-confrontational. We'll get all the tracts that you ever hope to want to use. Trust me, we'll get them if that's what it takes. Now, next question. which is a follow-up. If each member did as much personal work as me, how much personal work would be being done? By personal work, I mean actually talking to folks one-on-one or one-on-two about the gospel, about the church, about Christ, about churchy things. And we're real hesitant to do that, I think, by and large, because people don't like confrontations. I don't. Negative confrontations. And we have had negative experience and responses in the past when we talk to someone about the gospel or about the church or this, that, or the other. And those negative responses stay with us a lot longer and a lot more impressed on our minds than the positive responses. Surely you've had positive times and responses where you've asked someone to come to worship with you and they came. You asked someone about the Bible and you sat down and talked about the Bible. You talked about the church and your various different views on the church and what they taught and what you taught. So we have positive responses. We just need to do more of them. It's a percentage. You're going to have the majority of negative responses. Get ready for it. It's going to happen. But that doesn't take the load off our back to do it. And if we need classes in this, if we need some assistance in this, if we need some helps to do that, let's find out where we need the assistance and where we need the work, and let's get that done. Influence out there is going to be greater by doing it. Fourth question, if every member set forth the kind of example that I set forth, what kind of example would it be? And I get that question from Matthew 5:16. And Matthew 5:16 just simply says, let your light so shine that men see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's it. That's what that's about, Matthew 5:16. If we're not about that, we need to be. We need to think about it. Every time you're in public, you're an influence, for the good or for the bad, or maybe sometimes for the indifferent, that you're an influence. That influence ought to be shining so bright in those ways, in Christian ways, that it glorifies your Father in heaven. Next question. If each member lived daily like I do, what kind of life would it be? James 1:27. To visit the orphans and the widows and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Don had a good point a while ago. He said, what name did you say you were going to give your golf cart this morning? I said, Visitation. He said, no, you need to change it to the name Temptation. Oh. Slap the old preacher right in the face. But things like that, things that we enjoy doing, it's a great point. I'm not going to do it, but it's a great point. The point is that those things can be, whether it's golf or fishing or doing whatever activity that you're involved in or may be involved in out there in the secular area, they can be so much of a temptation for us that they take away from our mindset of, well, if I go do this, I need to be a Christian doing this and nobody else, right? I need to contain myself, make myself, and encourage myself to be the Christian I should be while I'm doing those things. Not that they're evil to do, but if we get involved in the language that those other folks are using that we're around, we've crossed the line. If we don't speak about the church at every opportunity, you want to do that at the drop of a hat. Let folks know where your heart is. Where your heart is, that's where they need to know where you are. And we do that by the life we live, by the influence that we have in secular areas as well as in church areas. Next question. If each member were as faithful as me, how faithful would they be? And only we can answer that individually. How faithful are you? I mean, I think the group that's here tonight is the group that's here for Bible class on Sunday morning. By and large, the folks that are here on Wednesday night. By and large, the folks that are here when there's an event. By and large, the folks that will be here on Saturday morning or things like that. This is the group that is the faithful chosen few. This is the group that gets things done. This is the group that is more faithful by your attendance and by your participation than the others of our brothers and sisters. We just need to encourage them to be as faithful as we seem to be. And if we're putting on a facade, then that's a whole other lesson that we don't want to get into. But sometimes we put a facade out to everybody else. We're not as faithful as we seem to be, but we're here all the time. You see what I mean? So we don't want to be doing, I'm going to call doing that. Next question. If each member spends eternity with me, just where will that be? Now, there's a bold question. We all assume, every one of us sitting here tonight assumes that we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Am I right? That's our preference and choice. Sure it is. Why else do all this? Why else even talk about this if eternity's not a concern? But as I said this morning, there are going to be some folks that are lost, that are members of the Lord's body even, that'll be spending eternity right along with the heathen, the unfaithful, the thief, the murderer, et cetera, because there's only two choices. We don't have to, and I didn't say this morning, I probably should have, we don't have to be perfect at it. It's not a perfection thing. But we need to get as close to perfect as possible. Some will get closer than others. Some will be farther away from perfect than others. God knows that. See, the thing is, it's about God and what he knows, because he knows how much you can do. He knows how much I can do. He's given us abilities. He's given us the wherewithal to do what he needs for us to do while we're here. That's what these questions are about, to provoke our thought to say, am I really doing what I should do and what I can do? And if we're reaching that pinnacle of doing what we can do, what God's given us the ability to do, part of Joe's Bible class this morning about the same subject, doing all I can do with all I can do it with. And once we've done that, then we continue to strive to grow a little more, a little stronger, to be able to do a little more. And it's a step at a time. But if we're not doing that, that's when folks perceive us to be, as I talked about this morning, a dead church. We're not a dead church. This is not a dead body of believers. as Irene pointed out this morning, we're not dead. We're still hobbling. And I believe we're still getting there. Hobble as we might. I think that's probably what it's all about. It's not a continual run for the race. It's we hobble. And it was a good point she made. We hobble as we go through this Christian life because it's not always perfect. Can't be perfect. Won't be perfect. But like I said, we can get as close as we can. And that's what it's all about. Get as close as you can. What else could God ask? But get as close as he can, or we can. He got as close as he could to do everything he could for our salvation. He did it perfectly. He knows we're not perfect. Never asked us to be perfect. He just said, be faithful until you're gone from here. Be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. And the crown of life awaits. It's a great reward for the little bit of work that it might cost us. If we weigh what we need to do against what Jesus did, there's really no comparison there. He put it all on the line. Seldom do we put it all on the line for him. I hope you're encouraged by the lesson. I hope you're encouraged to do more than what you do. Let's all do more than what we do. Step it up, as they say. We step it all up together, we'll brighten this area of our lives up, and we'll do the same thing for others. Song has been chosen tonight, so as we contemplate the singing of this song, if you need to respond to this invitation, it's your opportunity to make known what you need to make known to the brothers and sisters that are gathered here. And if there's something that we need to do for you, prayer, study, whatever it may be, Christian, non-Christian alike, now's the time to let us know. While Jerry leads us in this next song.